Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming live on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is a Wednesday, hump day, April 26, 2023, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zomers. We welcome you in to a midday show, and that can only mean one thing. It is Crossover Wednesday. We started the day on the Pat Kreitlow show. Actually, it's Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. I think I'm going to rename the show because he keeps making fun of the fact that this is the Todd Albaugh show, conveniently named.
So we're going to start calling it named.
We're going to call it the Pat Kreitlow show, Up North News. Started there. Now Mr. Kreitlow has joined us here on our program. We appreciate it. Mr. Kreitlow, how the heck are you?
I'm the heck cold. It's it's warmed up to 31 degrees here on Lake Wissota. It's sunny and beautiful, but I'm ready to be done with these upper 20s for lows.
Right, exactly. Well, we'll check in with
things got to grow. We got a growing season to get to, you know.
We'll check in with Kara Foster from Weatherology at the bottom of the hour. Trigvy loves this part of the show. By the way, Trigvy Olson of the Lincoln Project, but today we're introducing him as an NFL owner, is also joining us in this portion as well. But Trigvy can't wait to hear Kara's forecast, because he's out in D.C. where things are already blooming and beautiful and flowering, you know. Up in Lake Wissota, I've got the Brewers hat on. Pat and I were down along with Mr. Zomers and our operations director, Luke Mathers, and our news director, Terry Bell. We were down at the Brewers game on Friday. I've got my Brewers hat on. I've got my Brewers mug this morning. Great time had by all. And Pat, I told you, we sat next to each other for most of the game. I said, I've got to do a better job of promoting these tickets, because when we give away tickets, we're not talking about just the bleacher seats or whatever. These are on the club level, the same level as the skyboxes.
I know. I'm right away thinking, was this some kind of payola from the Lincoln Project people? I mean, they got money, right? This is Trigvy money that we're dealing with here. We're just a humble bunch of radio folks. They were great seats. In fact, you owe Trigvy a game just for all the picking on him that we do.
100%.
Great seats.
No, but next time
I hate to admit this, though, I'm a Twins fan.
Are you really? Oh, for God's sake. Because you grew up in River Falls.
Oh, see, now that makes sense. I mean,
yeah, I get it.
I grew up a Twins fan as well before I knew I was moving permanently to Wisconsin. Well, yeah, I was, St. Paul, and I grew up in both St. Paul and Eau Claire. My parents divorced when I was very young.
I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
So I've always been on, straddling the border, as it were, in terms of knowing about news and politics and sports and everything else. But as I like to tell people, it was very easy for me to leave the Minnesota Vikings when I knew I was moving here permanently, because I tell them I'm a child of the 70s, and most people forget that. During the decade of the 70s, the Vikings lost 14 Super Bowls. You would think it's not possible, but I had no problem leaving them at that point.
Well, there you go. So bipartisanship has broken out between a former Republican and a Democrat over the Twins. Who knew?
Over the Twins. And by the way, Target Field is a great place. There's a reason you keep having Brewers Twins series, is because people love to go up or down I-94 to one park or the other. You know, I hate the way American Family Field sounds when the Cubs are in town, because there's so many Cubs fans. But I actually I think it's kind of nice when you can hear the Brewers fans on the Twins broadcast, when all the folks from River Falls and whatnot head over to Minneapolis. And conversely, in the cities, it's just a nice, upper Midwest. It's the friendly kind of rivalry with two beautiful ballparks. Of course, we were the smart ones. We put a retractable roof on ours. Come on, Minnesota.
I know,
put the
right?
roof on. Do you have a convertible top down all winter? No, you do not. Come on. Get there faster.
I want
to. You know what's crazy about that, though, Pat? What's crazy about you, are right. The Brewers-Twins rivalry is the best of, friendly state rivalry. The Vikings-Packers rivalry, on the other hand, is literally filled with hatred and nasty, and has been forever.
And the funny thing is, it only works one way. It's not till you're a Minnesotan who moves to Wisconsin that you realize you're thinking there's this big Viking-Packer rivalry, and you realize most Packer fans, they don't care. Their rivalry is with the Bears. The Vikings are just this other team that they play. And the Minnesota Vikings fans, they get all worked up to it, because, again, you have to take that that feeling someplace of knowing you're never going to win a Super Bowl. So you take the frustration out on your next door neighbor.
But then they all come over and see our four Lombardi trophies whenever they get the chance. Right.
Absolutely. There you go. The sporting, I'm not sure if you heard, Trigvy, I was on Pat's show before this, and I have my Michael Ellis sunglasses on this morning because we were telling stories on the way down to the Brewers game. The late great former Senate Majority Leader for the Republicans, who I know Trigvy knows well. We don't have time for Pat to tell the entire story, but Pat, the abbreviated version, if you will.
Was that Mike Ellis was the majority leader the night that Tommy Thompson pulled an all-nighter, twisting arms to try to get one more vote to get the state funding for what would become Miller Park. And Mike Ellis was telling me the story. It had about like 6 a.m. Somebody taps him on the shoulder and says, "George, change his vote. Go ahead and call the roll." And he thought it was Gary George, Democrat from Milwaukee. Yeah. It was actually Republican George Petak from his own caucus. And, nobody on the floor of the Senate or Assembly or in Congress wants to be surprised. But sometimes it happens. And for Mike Ellis, it turned into a hell of a story.
And nobody, you guys both know, no one could tell a better story than Mike Ellis. I mean, he would hold court back in the Senate parlor or down at the Avenue. And that was one of the great parts, right? You'd have Democrats, Republicans getting together at the Avenue. Mike Borger would be beside him buying drinks. And it was quintessential politics because it was back in the time when things would actually get done.
It's us. We're the reincarnated spirit of that right here, the three of us.
I think we are. I was working for McCallum. I was in the governor's office when Petak switched.
Really? That's great. We'll pick it up. Pat, thanks so much.
Pick that up later.
Join Pat every day 6 until 8. Back with Trigvy after this on the Todd Allball Show. Back to the Todd Allball Show. It's now 15 past the hour of 8 o'clock on the time and temperature sign. Welcome in, as always, on a Wednesday. Trigvy Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. But today, we're going to start off the bat as his other role, owner of the NFL franchise, Green Bay Packers football team. Well, he's a part owner of the Packers. Trigvy, welcome.
Yeah, with many other great, great Americans.
Right. Right, exactly. So
hundreds of thousands, millions of them. I don't know how many of us there are, but...
But you are one.
You know what? Here's the thing. Unlike Minnesota Viking fans, and I say they are fans, we're owners.
You absolutely are owners.
So we clearly know more about football than they do, or those pinheads from the flatland south of us.
This is no lie. Trigvy is an owner of the Packers, like he said many people are, but he is a legitimate owner. And I know you've been dying to talk more about this. Finally, it's happened. Aaron Rodgers traded the official trade yesterday to the New York Football Jets. According to ESPN, the deal looks like this. The Packers receive pick number 13, a second-round pick, number 42, and a sixth-round pick, number 207, in this year's draft, plus a conditional 2024 second round pick that becomes a first round pick if Rodgers plays 65% of the plays this season. The Jets, they get Aaron Rodgers, plus they get pick number 15 and a fifth round pick. It's number 170 this year. And a lot of people are saying, Trigvy, the Packers came out on the better end of the stick.
Well, no doubt. I mean, and here's the thing. Ryan Goody, our GM. Yes. I'm just going with that because it's too hard for me this early.
Sure, Goody.
Here's the thing. He went to the University of Wisconsin La Crosse. He fleeced those big city slickers. Fleeced them.
That's fantastic.
He was like, and honestly, if you look at him, he's the perfect GM for the Green Bay Packers. He looks like the kind of guy you'd meet at a house party in a garage who's tapping the Miller Lite and cooking the brats. And he fleeced those city slickers.
I know.
Fleeced
them. He did. It was it's great. It's a UW lacrosse graduate, as Trigvy said. And, took it to those big city guys out there in New York.
He makes you proud to be from Wisconsin.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And listen, I wish Jordan Love all the luck in the world. I'm a Packers fan. I want him to do well. But Luke Mathers and I were talking about this on the show yesterday of Dueling Tangents, and we were talking that I said lightning rarely strikes twice, and I don't know if it ever strikes three times, to get Favre and then Rodgers and to think that Jordan Love is going to be a third Hall of Fame quarterback back-to-back. I just don't know if that's going to happen.
Just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it can't. And the and as McCain used to always say to all of us, hope dies last. So there you go.
That's right.
Just all, and you know what? There's a lot of valuable lessons for our politics in this. There's just valuable lessons in life all over. Don't mess with Wisconsin guys. Don't try and jerk them around in your big city slicker ways. And
no,
seriously, anybody who's been out in New York, it's perfect. It's the little guys sticking it to the big guys.
It's a great story.
Yeah, we'll see what Aaron Rodgers does. I mean, here's the funny thing about it is you watch the coverage and you kind of see some of the sportification of our society as a whole, right? Mm. Like people assume that they can have valid opinions. I say this to my mother all the time. You know, sometimes it's about politics. It's good that people have opinions and that they want to know what's going on. And that's an important part of the process. But the reality is they're not in the middle of the game, right? And there's some stuff that's actually happening where, you know, there isn't an understanding. And it's kind of like that with football. I love the Green Bay Packers. I like to read, you know, Bob McGinn and all the rest of it. But the reality is if I really knew that much about football, I would be GM of the Green Bay Packers, not working in politics, right? So anything that I say about Aaron Rodgers is just a rant of an angry guy who doesn't probably really know what he's talking about.
But, you know, but maybe more than some. I mean, you're more than the casual fan, certainly.
And it might be an informed opinion.
We're all entitled to an opinion, right?
We are that. But what we're trying to do in our politics as of late would be like if you had to poll everybody in Lambeau Field before every play. It wouldn't really work out very well.
That's a great analogy. I like that, actually. Before the next play, you punch a thing at your seat. You know, are you for or against it? Do you slightly lean towards this play? Do you strongly lean towards this play?
Honestly, though, you know, when you think about it, you remember back, not to be, I mean, we are old guys now, Todd, so we can do this.
Come on,
back in our day. Mm-hmm. But do you remember how Tommy used to just travel around the state and sell optimism?
Oh, it's absolutely.
A great day to be from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Where the Packers soar and the Eagles soar.
The Packers score and Harley's roar.
Oh, yeah, Harley's roar.
Yeah.
Whatever
it
was.
Yeah, yeah,
an Eagle's soar.
Yeah.
Right? Like that was pretty much a stick and people loved it.
I agree 100%. Talking, for those who don't know, former Republican governor, 4 times elected, Governor Tommy G. Thompson. Yeah, I mean, whether or not you agreed with all of his policies or not, there was no one who loved Wisconsin more, who cheered for Wisconsin more than Tommy Thompson.
Right. That's like you and I. And then Kara Foster comes on and brings her rain and snow and sleet. When she starts giving sunshine and warm days, I'm telling you, she's going to be a lot more popular.
Kara Foster is the Ed Garvey of this morning show.
You're going to have to explain who Ed Garvey is.
Ed Garvey. No,
he going to take some old timers to know who Ed Garvey is.
Was it Tommy's second opponent after he beat Tony Earle, the late Tony Earle? I think Ed Garvey was the Democrat who ran against Tommy the first time in his reelection bid, 1996-ish or somewhere around there. Anyway.
But we don't have a lot of optimism in our politics.
No.
And that's sad.
No, I agree 100%. And we'll get into a little bit after the break as well, but I guess let's just touch on that for a second. President Joe Biden announced that he is running for a second term. And to me, Trigvi, I think what you just said is maybe the biggest factor in this is race that's shaping up for 2024. You have Joe Biden, who I think for all the tragedy he's gone through in his life, he is an eternal optimist. He is a guy who keeps looking forward and saying things could get better versus a guy like Donald Trump who strictly sells everything on the negative.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I probably disagree on stuff with Joe Biden more than I necessarily agree with him, maybe, you know, 60-40, whatever. But I will tell you this much. You know, Joe Biden and I share the having lost a child thing, different circumstances, but we share that. Mm. And I can tell you, it's, to me, the fact that Joe Biden went through it twice and lost his wife at the same time and has come through it as the kind of human being, regardless of what you think of his politics, that he appears to be, is inspirational.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really inspirational. And I do suspect that Joe Biden, you know, you have all the rhetoric on the right and kind of these, in, I think they're probably mostly invented or to create whataboutism and space for Trump on, you know, but I think Joe Biden probably is the kind of guy that you'd want as your neighbor because he has an empathy from experience. And I know from my own experience, I don't know why it happened other than it certainly made me a better person. Mm-hmm. You know, and would I change it? Absolutely, in a heartbeat, to something different. But those kinds of challenges, if you come through them, they either destroy you or they make you stronger. And he certainly came through stronger.
I appreciate you sharing that with us, Trigvi. And based on your own experience and looking at Joe Biden, I said yesterday on this show, I said, you know, Biden said himself, I never wanted to be, you know, the consoler in chief. I never asked for that. It wasn't something I aspired to, certainly. But I said yesterday on the show, I said, I think it gives him the unique ability to connect with people and understand pain better than perhaps any other president in my lifetime. Agree or disagree based on your own experience?
Yeah, I think that's true. I will say when I worked with Belarusians and Russians and Ukrainians, I would get the opportunity to bring them to the U.S. on occasion for meetings on Capitol Hill. And, you know, most of these people had never been there and it was a big deal to be in Washington. And there were two members of Congress that I could always count on meeting with them personally, John McCain and Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why Biden was meeting with them, but there was no political reason to meet with Belarusians. Mm-hmm. I knew McCain was meeting with them because that's what McCain cared about. Joe Biden, I think, was doing it for the right reasons. And if he couldn't be there, he always had his top aides there, usually Tony Blinken. And those guys, that says a lot that you would empathize with people who, you know, are in really hard situations, and that may be born out of some of the experiences that he's had, that he could empathize with them.
That's tremendous insight, and it goes back to verifying what I've always believed or long believed, is that Joe Biden's the real deal. Again, whether you agree with all of his policies or not, he's the real deal. What he tells people he cares, when he gets up in front of people. I mean, I've seen him speak in person once. He was here in town for Senator Baldwin a few years ago, and it was about almost an hour-long speech, about 50 minutes or so. And I said for about 8 minutes, he was quote-unquote Uncle Joe, you know, kind of the fiery brand, giving the one-liners and going out. For like the other 40 minutes, it was kind of this really quiet, you know, kind of like, hey, we're all Americans here. We got to quit attacking our neighbors. We got to get, you know, I want a two-party system. There are Republicans who are friends of mine. We need to have a dialogue. We got to get back to America. I mean, he really believes that.
Yeah, I think he really does. And some of that, you know, ends up seeing old-fashioned. And he is, you know, Joe Biden's, you know, the challenges that he has as a candidate and some of the flaws that he potentially has, they're right out there, right? He's old. And there's a lot of concern about him. Donald Trump's old too. I think there's a lot of Americans who are like, can't we find somebody other than these two? But the reality is in all likelihood, it's going to be Joe Biden versus Donald Trump. And that's going to be the choice that Americans have. And, it's unfortunate, probably, and it might be a sign of how much work we have to do with our democracy that we're getting a repeat of this. But if we're unhappy with it, we really need to look at ourselves in the mirror. Because the people who are ultimately responsible that's what we're getting for a choice aren't Joe Biden and Donald Trump. It's all of us.
About a minute left before we turn it over to Kara Foster here with her gloomy forecast for later in the week. But what do you think? Here's why I said yesterday about the announcement. I thought the video, Aaron Zomers, our producer, said, hey, this is very well produced. I thought the announcement by Biden was well produced. I go back to the old Chris Matthews line of the candidate with the sunshine on their face usually wins. I think Joe Biden is best when he's out amongst people. I would have liked to have seen that video introduce him at a live event. I don't know why they didn't get that State of the Union energy live and in person on camera when he announces.
So some of that I think has to do with you know, just sort of how his team and the experiences that they've had. Do you know, when President Obama ran for re-election, and this was true with President Bush as well, But when Obama ran, he announced right about this same time that he was going to run, and did not do his first official campaign event until May of the following year.
Wow.
President Bush, not dissimilarly, announced in June, I think it was, and didn't do anything until April. Usually incumbent presidents want to shorten it because they have the trappings of the office. And so there's no real reason to start doing to extend the campaign.
This is why we have Trigvi Olson here. More of Trigvi after this. Stay tuned. You're on the Todd Allball Show with the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, the edited version of Katy Perry on a Wednesday morning. Go to our meteorologist at Weatherology this morning, the wonderful and talented Kara Foster. Kara played a little bit of Katy Perry to bring you in this morning. Are you a Katy Perry fan?
I definitely am, and that song was like one of my favorites back
really?
In eighth grade. Yeah.
That's fantastic. So we have Trigvi Olson on from the Lincoln Project. And by the way, all the Lincoln Project guys that come on, they love your forecast. This is one of their favorite parts of the segment. Trigvi's daughter is a huge Katy Perry fan. And how about this for Dad of the Year? He took his kid to Vegas to see Katy Perry.
Oh, that would be so much fun. I've always wanted like her outfits. She always has the most fun outfits. And especially since she's in Vegas now, she has like a whole stage full right? of whatever she wants to do with it. So I think that would be super fun. So good. Yeah. Good dad.
Good on you, Dad. Trigvi Olson, Dad of the Year, right there. Weather forecast of the week. You get an award today, I think, for a nice day today, but it's kind of downhill after tomorrow. Fill us in, Ms. Foster. What can we expect around Wisconsin weather-wise?
Yeah, it's going to be, a few interesting days. Now, it's not going to be totally horrible the next few days. Tomorrow could be a really nice day still, potentially. We're actually going to be a little bit warmer than today. And then, it's going to be pretty scattered throughout the next few days, whether we're going to get some showers or it just might stay pretty gloomy for a good part of it. But today, sunny and 54 in Amory, some sunshine over in Wausau as well, hitting a high of 52, and then sunny and 55 here in Richland Center. As we head into tonight, some rain showers do begin. It's going to be the most likely chance overnight tonight. This is kind of the biggest event we'll have all week. Showers continue into tonight. We'll dip down to about 44 in Amory. Showers and dip down to 38 into Wausau. And then as we head into Richland Center, they're not seeing too much tonight. It's mainly going to be over the weekend that the southern portion of the state is going to see a lot. So it's going to be very scattered. These systems that are moving through is like, you might see a rain shower here. You might not. You might see something on the radar, and it might just disappear or move south or something like that throughout the next few days. It's going to be a very interesting thing, but that is good for our flooding. We're not seeing too much accumulation with the rainfall. It's like a tenth of an inch here, a quarter of an inch possible there, a tenth, a quarter, a tenth, a quarter. It's like really not too much. And as I said, it's very scattered, so it's not even a full 100% chance that we would even see the rain showers possible. So tomorrow, we're going to be warming up. Like I said, we're still going to see some sunshine. So the southern portion of the state is warming up to the upper 60s, maybe even lower 70s. The rest of the state is going to see some partly sunny skies. You might see some scattered showers, but you're going to be in the 60s and no winds. It's actually going to be really nice. It's going to be a little breezy overnight, but it's just going to be kind of that burst of heat coming through the south. Mm-hmm. Then as we head into Thursday night, going into Friday, and then into the weekend, basically like a 40 to 50% chance for some rain. You might see some sunshine over Saturday, but other than that, it might stay a little gloomier. Lows in the mid to upper 30s in the most part of the state. So it'll be a little chilly over the next few nights here. And then Sunday is going to be an interesting day. Still some scattered showers possible, still some sunshine throughout the state. Highs in the mid 40s, lower 50s. And we'll actually have some northwest winds come in, gusts as high as 30 and 40 miles per hour. But then Tuesday is the day that we clear up. Everything kind of moves out of the way. Sunshine, mid 50s, lower 60s. Kind of a gorgeous start to the week there. Monday is going to be a little more like, we'll see what happens when we get to that point, but we should see some rain showers and north winds continue into that day as well with some sunshine. So not a totally terrible forecast. Some days are better than others, but I would say definitely better than what we've seen the last couple of weeks. I'm meteorologist Kara Foster.
All right, Kara, thank you very much. You're much too young. There used to be a great, there still is a great song, Neil Diamond, some days are diamonds, some days are stones. So that's the way,
exactly.
That's the way the forecast goes. All right, but quickly, in all seriousness, for our friends along the Mississippi River, La Crescent, La Crosse, down to Pertichine, some historic flooding, from what I understand. Some of these flood levels haven't been seen in 20 years, so be careful if you're headed over towards the Mississippi River anytime in the next few days.
Yeah, truly. And I'm grateful that this system won't bring a ton of rain, but yeah, it's, I mean, no matter what, it's just all due to the snowpack up north. And it does matter what's still going on kind of north of the during or over in the mouth of the Mississippi, definitely to kind of trickle down to the southern areas. So we do have to still look out for that, even though this system won't bring a ton of rainfall. So.
All right. Thank you very much, Kara. We'll talk to you mañana. Have a wonderful day.
Sounds good. You as well.
All right. Thank you very much. Kara Foster from Weatherology with our complete weather forecast detail. We thank you for her work this morning. Joining us, as always, on a Wednesday, Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project and also NFL Packer owner. Talked a little bit about the first segment of, about the Packers. And very quickly, just picking up on this Katy Perry news. This is from the great source Radar, Trigvi. The headline
incredible.
Is, I know, exactly. American Idol producers won't rule out firing Katy Perry over her treatment of contestants. Quote, they are rattled by her behavior. Katy Perry's behavior as American Idol fans calling for her head, and producers are listening. RadarOnline.com has learned the 38-year-old I Kissed a Girl singer's rude and condescending comments to heartbroken contestants have turned viewers against her, according to several sources. Quote, Katy has come under fire for her harsh comments in the past, and now fans are upset over the way she humiliated a singing duo. My question is, what the heck? I mean, come on, toughen up. I mean, in the old days, Simon Cowell used to just take it to these people. I mean, come on. I'm on Team Katy Perry.
Honest to God, it's true. I right? am on Team Katy Perry with this, too. You know, when I got cut as a sophomore from the high school hockey team, my dad's like, I guess you got to be better.
Right?
Right? Like, it was right? Soft coaching. Guess you weren't good enough.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I mean, I remember Frank Kaminsky, when he was a junior and senior, he wrote a great...
Frank the Tank.
He wrote a great blog called The Moose... Was it just The Moose or something like that? It was fantastic. He was a really good writer, really funny. And he wrote a couple of different articles talking about when he was in AAU league in Illinois. And basically, you know, he was cut from a couple of teams and didn't get playing time and wanted to change teams. And his dad, you know, Frank Sr., basically just said, buck up. You know, I mean, if you don't like it, then work harder and get better. And Frank the Tank credited his dad and Bo Ryan, because Bo was kind of the same way when he got to Wisconsin. You know, he was not a starter in his freshman year. No. And it took really till his junior year to really become Frank the Tank. And so, I mean, come on, American Idol contestants. You don't like the tough criticism, do better.
Well, yeah, right. I agree with that. Although you got to, you know, somewhere, you know, there's a reporter at Radar Online who clearly has Taylor Swift's mobile number. She got to figure it's been leaked by.
Probably. All right, on to more important things. Talking about prima donnas, let's shift our focus to Tucker Carlson, who was let go. They said amicably separated ways, although Tucker did not get his final show on Friday at Fox and was parted ways. What do you make of this, Trigvi? Yes, we keep trying to get a hold of Tucker, and that's all we keep calling his line, and that's all we hear. All right, enough of that. that was a joke for 2 hours yesterday. But anyway.
You know, he's the only man in history. He pulled a trifecta, a media trifecta. Mm-hmm. He was fired from a cable media trifecta. He's been fired from CNN, MSNBC, and now Fox. Isn't that, that's something.
Really? So,
and his show was completely different on each to fit the audience. I think this is the thing. You know, I was talking a little earlier and we were having some fun about sports and the Packers and whatever. You know, one of the things that's happened is, you know, Tucker Carlson is kind of the Jim Rome or the Pat McAfee philosophy of politics. He's just an entertainer. And, you know, he will sell whatever it is, whatever narratives he needs to at the time. It was only a matter of time. Although the bigger part of the Tucker firing is, what does it say about what Fox is thinking? And the response to it, you know, now you've got the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the, a lot of the MAGA who are like, we're going to dump Fox. And I would like, you know, I wonder, you know, will the RNC come under pressure to pull that debate that Fox is supposed to host in Milwaukee?
Yeah. I think that's a big question because our friend Scotty Walker is in charge of that, right? Or kind of helping oversee that.
He is. He is. But when he's not countering indoctrination of our youth. and you know, what does he say? The chief indoctrinator has just been fired from Fox. So. Mm. But, you know, I don't know how they're going to deal with that.
Where do you think? So here, I said, look, I'm not the smart guy in the room here. I did not first say this. Someone, I can't remember who, someone said shortly after the 2020 election, after Trump was beaten like a drum by Joe Biden, someone said the leading presidential candidate for 2024 now is Tucker Carlson. And do you think there's any chance that Tucker jumps into this race or is drafted into this race as a primary presidential contender?
No, he's not going to run for president.
You don't think
can't
so?
See that. No, I don't think so.
But don't you think it'd be? I mean, if he did,
it's a good. It's a nice tale, but that's not. I can't imagine.
But don't you think he'd be? I bet you he would pull right behind Trump if he jumped in.
Oh, for sure. I think he would. I think, you know, the question would be: does he take votes from Trump? He might.
Right.
But. I can't see him doing that. I know there's people who are out there proposing it and saying that that might be what he does, but I can't imagine that he does that.
Because here's the interesting thing. We saw a story yesterday that Kemp, governor down in Georgia, is saying that he is not going to attend his own Republican state convention, that he's going to do his own thing this year. So to me, that says that's kind of a sign that he's getting ready to gin up to get in the presidential race. We've got Youngkin out in Virginia. Looks like he's going to gin up to get in. Do you think there's this sense by people that you and I, particularly you know, on the national level, that you and I know, like Brian Schimmian and others in Wisconsin who are we'll just call them politically smart people. Do you think that there's this finally this sense of going, holy crap, it looks like Trump actually may be the nominee if we don't do something. Biden is going to be the nominee on the Democratic side. Trump ain't going to win against Biden. What do we do?
Well, I think... You know what? They're never going to throw him overboard because the reality is, and I bet there's a lot of listeners who are out there who are like, well, you know, we probably have some who listen just to be outraged by us who like Trump.
Sure.
But there's a lot who probably are Republicans like we are, who are conservatives at a minimum. We may not be Republicans anymore, who don't like Trump, but, you know, are still conservative. They're not going to get rid of him because the reality is he is the leader of far too much of the base. And if Donald Trump and his base don't get what they want, they will leave the party.
Do you think?
And so that is the problem. You can't think of this in the context of the politics that and the game that we've always known of normal democratic democracy, small d behavior. It is much more sort of illiberal, autocratic, vertical power kind of politics.
And do you think that Kemp and Young can get in?
You know, the scuttlebutt with Youngkin is that he's backing off it a little bit. You know, he's a really rich guy, so probably a little hot and cold. Brian Kemp, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Brian Kemp getting in. Brian Kemp could actually run as the conservative alternative who did the right thing and contrast nicely with Trump if somebody like DeSantis fails. And Brian Kemp is a smart politician. I mean, he got challenged by Trump people, Purdue, and boy, he shut that down. And he did it, honestly, in the way that a John Engler or a Tommy Thompson or a really smart governor would. He went, first thing he did is he appointed Purdue's uncle, who's a former governor, as chairman of the University of Georgia Board of Regents. That's smart. Right.
That's the way to do it. It's going to be interesting to see how it shapes up because, like I say, I mean, if the nominations were held today, it's a rematch, right? It's a 2020 rematch of Biden Trump.
Yeah, it's a rematch, and you know we just got done doing a survey with our C4, which we've got data that's going to be released fairly soon. But we asked head-to-head between DeSantis and Trump, and you know it's 65-35, quite frankly. It's wow. And those numbers are mirrored by a bunch of other numbers. I mean, Trump's running the field.
Stay with us. Back with more of the Trigby Olson from the Lincoln Project after this on the Todd Allball Show. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It's now 8:50 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have our friend, ongoing contributor, Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project, Wisconsin native from Northwest Wisconsin, and went on to do wonderful things across the country and across the U.S. or across the world, promoting democracy. And like me, found Trump just too much to take and left the Republican Party. And now he's with the Lincoln Project, doing some wonderful things there. And he joins us each and every Wednesday. Glad to have you along, Trigby. Let's change our focus to another one of our Wisconsin friends. I use that term lightly. Robin Voss. And, some of the folks in the state legislature, for those who don't know, according to WISP Politics this morning, the assembly yesterday approved a series of bills that would make changes to the state's unemployment insurance program. The chamber also approved legislation that would bar local governments from using public funds for guaranteed income programs, and another that would require the Department of Health Services to review the eligibility of Badger Care Plus participants every 6 months. The assembly passed it along party lines, 60-35. What this comes down to, Trigby, first of all, we know that whatever these guys pass is never going to get signed by Governor Tony Evers. So it's dead on. It's never going to happen. But again, instead of spending time finding ways to better Wisconsin and working in a bipartisan manner, they decide to pick on the elderly, the infirmed, and the poor. And say, you know what, if you're getting Badger Care, we're not sure that you really need that, so we're going to review your case every 6 months. And by the way, we're going to do what we said for years we don't want to do, which is intercede in local control and make it harder for the locals to do their job. What the heck's happened?
Well, you know, it's just raw politics and throwing bubble gum to the base, right? Because you pass this stuff knowing Evers is never going to sign it, knowing it's never going to become law. You know, maybe there's some merit to some of it, but usually when you see things pass completely on partisan lines that you know has no chance of being signed, it's just being loaded up with stuff that's going to be a good campaign hit. And, it's, you know, I just wonder, having known Robin for a long, long time, I think back when we were kids, you know, I knew him in college. I knew him a little bit in high school from, you know, just stuff that Badger Boy State.
It all comes back to Badger Boy State.
It does. Honestly,
whether it's Scott Walker or Robin Voss, it all comes back to Badger Boy. This could have all been stopped at Badger Boy State.
But you know what? That's Karl Rove's theory. Karl Rove's theory is everything you need to know about the Republican Party goes back to college Republicans. And that's true.
Yeah.
It really is true. Yeah. Like, because, you know, but, you know, Robin ended up as, he was student regent. He was the first student regent. And I was at Eau Claire, he was at Whitewater, and there's a candidate from the University of Wisconsin. And Robin and I kind of had to cut a deal. And to be honest, I was like, if I become student regent, that's less time spent on Water Street. Which kind of tells you about my priorities at the time. But I know that, you know, he was like about cutting deals and getting things done. And I just wondered, does he really enjoy being what he's become?
Right.
Probably not, because he was a guy who wanted to get some things done. And there may be some merit in some of these things. But I suspect in passing this is about trying to hate on people who are down on their luck. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean, I'm going to say this because on Twitter I get killed every time I say something like that. That doesn't mean that there isn't merit and that people like me don't feel like that people who are getting hand up shouldn't, you know, be responsible to do some things about it. I didn't, you know, as did you. We worked on ending welfare as we know it. Worked on welfare with Tommy, right?
But I think
this isn't that. This is not that. And people need to understand that. This is not that.
No, 100%. I mean, I was in a couple of rooms at some of the things at DHS with former Governor Thompson when he brought, you know, black single moms from Milwaukee up to Madison. Mm-hmm. And they sat there and told their story and said, you know, this is what I've been looking for. Help, you know, actually to pay for the child care for my kid. So then giving me scholarships to go to school so I could better myself, to have a better job so I could take care of myself and my kid. I don't want to just sit around and do nothing. I want to make my life better, but I needed help to get there. And Tommy would sit there and say, this is what it means. We're not trying to talk down to people. We're trying to help them get ahead. But now you've got the current iteration of Republicans. There is no help on the back end. It's just making it harder on the front end for people.
Yeah, and a lot of it is just about enraging
people. Division.
Right, like the conservatism of Barry Goldwater or Ronald Reagan had a toughness to it, but it wasn't cruel.
Right,
and there's somewhere along the way that got lost, and it's crazy because it happened as that conservative movement was winning on a lot of the real grievances that were true in the 60s and 70s, you know, about how left we had gone. But it's a little bit like cutting taxes. I'm always dumbfounded when people, and Scott Walker more than anybody does this to me, when they start saying, Ronald Reagan taught us that if you cut taxes, you raise revenue. You know what? Like, At my economics classes at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, when we learned about the Lafleur curve, that's not exactly what the Lafleur curve says. It is true. It says that when effective marginal tax rates are 70%, not so much when they're 30. Well, but I guess they didn't teach that at Marquette in his art classes or whatever it was he was taking.
Well, of course, Republicans continue to push this flat tax thing as well. And again, it just, I mean, it's just, you know, we got 2 minutes left, but It's not serious solutions, Trigvy. And that's what irritates me more than a lot of things, is the Republicans just aren't serious today.
They're not. And, I mean, you're seeing this with, for those up in Amory, right? Mm. Like, ask yourself, Tom Tiffany keeps voting against aid to Ukraine. What did Ronald Reagan teach Republicans about the bear in the woods and the Russians? That's whose side he's taking. You're smart enough. The people who are trying to play you as fools are not those people on the left. Mm-hmm. It's the carnival barker from New York with his name on buildings, who's really not a billionaire. And people like Tucker Carlson, the bow tie wearing Ivy League educated elite who are taking advantage of you and playing you for fools. They really are.
That's so well said. Because you and I grew up in areas, and we still know people who are good folks who go to their local Lutheran church, their Methodist church. They volunteer at the thrift shop, and they're getting it done on America's and Wisconsin's farms. And they're being led down a path like you say, guys like Tucker Carlson and Trump and others who just don't have our best interests in Wisconsin at heart.
No, not at all, and it's not. It's not the conservatism of Tommy Thompson and the Republican Party that you knew. Yes, you may see some familiar faces like Brian Shimsham, but because he's been around forever. But that's not, it's not that party. It's a very different party.
One of our listeners texted and says, by the way, Katy Perry, no relation, but I do own a talking toilet. So there you go.
We should have her on to ask us a question one day.
Yes.
Next week.